Sometimes reading the Bible can be disturbing and sometimes even scary and upsetting, because when we read the Bible, it is a mirror that often reflects who we really are, and we see ourselves for the first time. Sometimes we read it and we get it. So this week's message from Luke was a scripture that is like that for me. Why? Because one of the professors used to say, if you read the parables of Jesus and you feel good about it, you probably misunderstood it. So I didn't feel good about it, so I must have understood it, right? Why specifically? Because I know that I'm not the poor Lazarus, and I'm not the rich man, but maybe I am the brother who is still living. And maybe you are the brothers and sisters too in this story of Lazarus. So he has a message for us. So aren't you glad you're here this morning, right? I simply have just a couple points about this wonderful story. First, Lazarus, the name is important because of all the parables that Jesus told, this is the only man who is given a name in his stories. So there must be a reason for that. Lazarus comes from a Hebrew name, Elazar, Eleazar, which changed into Latin and Greek, comes to us as Lazarus, means God helps, or the person whom God helps. Now, all the people in the Bible, you look at Lazarus and you think, he is not the person God helps. That's what he looks like on the outside, doesn't it? Here, this man is poor, sick, full of sores, he says, some kind of disease. He's so weak or unable to even walk or work, so that people brought him every day, it seems to me, either family or community people, to the gates of the rich man because he was the only person who could help him out of his condition. But this poor Lazarus, Bible says, has a dream. He wishes that he could eat the crumbs off of this rich man's table, but obviously he can't. The other point about Lazarus is that although the rich man and others couldn't help, the dogs came and licked his wounds. I know that I have a pet, but I've learned that in many cultures, dogs were used to cure people. There was something they found in the dog's saliva that helps to clean up wounds and helps to bring healing. So of all things in life, when it seemed like there was no one to help Lazarus, here are these dogs, probably the guard dogs set to guard this rich man's house, who would come by to help Lazarus. He received his help from these dogs. Let's look at this rich man. We've always thought that he had a name, Dives, but it became because it was a wrong translation of his name and people misunderstood the Latin word for riches as his name. So we think that he has a name, but he doesn't have a name. But anyway, this man was so rich, he loved to flaunt it. He was dressed in purple, they say. Purple in those days was limited to certain classes of people, usually the most highest classes, the royal family. But every day he wore his purple. He even wore linens, meaning he even had the most expensive Egyptian cottons for his underwear. And of course, he ate sumptuously every single day, which also means that people who worked for him, they couldn't keep the Sabbath. As you know, as observing Jews, you are to let even your maids and servants rest. But he loved his parties. So every single day he had his family, brothers, he had his friends, rich friends, come to be part of his party. Seen that way, you would think that he's the one who is blessed by God. And Lazarus, despite his name, was not helped by God. Yet both of these men die. But in the other place, the situation is changed. He is no longer the rich man, and Lazarus is at Abraham's side, being comforted by Abraham and the angels. Now, one thing that surprised me from this story, this reading, was that this rich man continued to act like he was the boss. He tells Abraham, please tell Lazarus to bring me a glass of water, or please command Lazarus to go to my brothers, and so forth. But you never hear from him an apology to Lazarus. I'm sorry that I did not see you or that I did not share my wealth with you. He continues to command Lazarus. Lazarus is silent. We never hear a word from him. Yet I believe we must see him doing an action that tells us what kind of man he really was. Because Abraham, after he receives a request from the rich man to send Lazarus with a glass of water, tells him, you know, in your own life you were rich, but now Lazarus is being comforted. But there is such a chasm between us, a big cliff, a gap that no one can cross, not from this side to you or from your side to us. Now, why would anybody want to go from heaven to hell? And in this story, I think Jesus wants us to see, perhaps, Lazarus whispering in Abraham's ears, Father Abraham, I know that man. He was my neighbor. And we have so much water here. Can I take a glass of water down to him? I think people have expected Lazarus to lash out at this rich man, telling Abraham that he deserves his suffering, that he should continue to suffer until the flesh falls off his bones. But we hear nothing of that sort. Rather, we see intimations that this poor man, Lazarus, was willing to forgive, was willing to offer to this, his former enemy, a glass of water. Lazarus had been given pain, yet through his life, he had learned what it means to live as God's child. He did not lash back at God. Why? Why me? Yet it seemed he had asked the right question, but what now? How must I live? It seems to me he had learned, as Job, but even perhaps more than Job, we could call him the New Testament Job, because Job, you know, started out as a wealthy man and he lost everything, but then he gets everything back before he dies. Lazarus had nothing, died with nothing. Yet through his life, he had learned that it is how we respond to the circumstance of life that gives meaning to our lives. The lesson for the class of 2025. I offer the story of a man named Albert. At age 29, Albert was the most famous organist of his time. He was known as a superb interpreter of Bach, respected, happy. And then they tell us that he heard this parable of Jesus about the rich man and Lazarus. After he heard this parable, he could not let it go. They kept on gnawing at him. He couldn't sleep at night. The story grabbed his heart and forced him to give up, to give in. And so he did. Albert gave up his brilliant music career and decided to enter medical school to become a doctor. All of his friends and family thought he was crazy to throw away what God seemingly had given him. But Albert knew that God had called him, and he responded by becoming a medical missionary to Africa. After building his missionary hospital in Africa, he treated thousands of people and brought a message that changed a whole generation. This story changed Albert's life. This week, let us remember that life is not fair, and Jesus knows this and tells us this story. Yet what is important is how we face the life that God has given, the life has handed to us. Ours is not to ask why, but perhaps to ask, what now? How shall I live as God's child? Perhaps our life is full of banquets or in pain. Whether we are in banquets or in pain, God invites us to ask, what now? How shall I live with what is given me? The rich man had the chance to use the wealth that God had given him, yet he forgot that the possessions that he had were given him by God as a gift to be used, to be shared, to be used well for the neighbors. Lazarus, in his pain, recognized that perhaps he could not do all these things, yet he remained gentle. He learned patience. He learned what it meant to forgive, not to be so full of anger in his life. I've been pleasantly surprised these last few years to hear about the brothers of the big rich man who are listening and responding. The giving pledge is a promise being made by billionaires in our society to give more than half of what they own back to society in this life or before they die. So Mr. Buffett, the Gates family, the Turner family, now up to 81 of the billionaires have promised that they're going to give away a majority of their wealth. I'm glad they're listening. Yet it isn't so much that we give that the rich man forgot to give what he had to Lazarus, but that he was not a neighbor to Lazarus, willing to share his hospitality and his kindness to those who are poor, to those who are different from him. Yes, none of us will claim to be at the level where the Buffetts and the Gates are. And we might not even say, I have $1 million. Yet it is not the amount that counts, yet our heart. I believe God is calling the class of 2025 and us to see, to listen, to really see those who are suffering among us, and to extend our hand, and to be willing to work to make a world that would extend love and kindness and justice to all the Lazaruses who are living around us. Jesus came so that God's kingdom can be built on this earth. And we have the challenge, and we have the vision, and we have the task to be our brothers and sisters, to be with them, to accompany them in their life. Perhaps we come this morning believing that we need help from God. It might seem God is absent. And maybe many people saw Lazarus and said, God couldn't possibly be helping him. Yet, God can help us. It is not the amount that we have, yet how rich our hearts can be, and how we can learn to have courage, to live with what we have, and to be able, with that courage, to make a difference in our life for today and for tomorrow. May God bless you as you live as the sons and daughters of God, as the Lazaruses of our day, as those who are helped by God. Thanks be to God for the good news that has come to us through Jesus. Amen.